Thank you, worship team. We're going to start with a word of prayer, so let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we can come to your word. Lord, we love your word. Would you teach us from it this morning? Would you let us be listening to your Holy Spirit? And Lord, would this time glorify you? Lord, would it be what we need to hear this morning for your encouragement? And Lord, we ask that your will would be done in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to start this morning with a little quiz. Yes, I know that's how all dads like to start Father's Day, with a quiz. So I am going to have three pictures, and I want you to identify them. You can yell it out if you know their names. Can I have the first picture, please? Some say Ben. Ben. Oh, we'll see if you're right. Second picture, please. Who? Jeff? Okay, all right. Third picture, please. Who's this? Are you sure? All right. What if I was to tell you that you're mostly right? Well, what if I was to tell you that these men are also known as something else? Let's go back to the first picture again, please. This man, some of you called Ben, also known as Eden and Esther's dad. All right, see what I'm doing? Second picture, please. This man, some of you call Jeff, also known as who? You can say it louder. Eloise's dad, that's right. And our third man, some of you called Elias, also known as? Tobias and Esme's dad. Exactly, you guys caught on. Excellent. Kids and parents have a great connection. And if you are a dad or mom, you have likely experienced this, being known for your parent-child connection. For my dad, he's been called Thomas's dad, or maybe Pastor Thomas's dad if it's in the context of our church. And I've certainly been called Jim's son and been happy about it. So dads, happy Father's Day to all of you, and to my dad, happy Father's Day. This parent-child connection is one that is designed by God and one that in his perfect plan he has a design for on both sides of the parent-child relationship. And our text this morning, Ephesians 6, 1-4, please turn there with me, is one of those texts which helps us to understand a proper relationship between children and their parents. And since it is Father's Day, we're going to focus in a little bit more on dads and their important role in the home and in their children's lives. So our title in this Father's Day morning is Bring Them Up. Bring them up. We will hear from this text how a child should act toward a parent and how particularly a father should bring up his children. So let's read our text, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This passage begins with commands for children. So we'll call the first part of our message today, Obey and Honor. And this is not just referring to young children, but to anyone with parents. Those children still under their parents' roof are to obey and honor them to a higher degree. But even this does not end when a child becomes independent. There is, even then, still to be a unique respect and care shown to their parents. There is an action here and an attitude. So let's start with the action. How are children to obey? Well, this passage says, in the Lord. In other words, this matters to God. If you love and respect God, this is to be a reflection of that. You could put it in this way. Please the Lord by obeying his commands in regard to your parents. As Colossians 3:20 puts it, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And Paul ends verse 1 by saying, simply, for this is right. This is God's design for children. It's God's design. He will give parents instructions for how to bring them up, certainly. But first, children, here's the command to you. This is your responsibility before the Lord. It is His design for children as the parents bring them up. But of course, the only exception to this would be any time a parent might ask a child to do something that was against God's word. In other words, always put God's word and His authority over another person's. Even a parent with the command to obey. The assumption here is that the parent's goal is also to please God as they bring their children up. So we see the action. How about the attitude? What does honor have to do with this? Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. This is the attitude component. And I'm sure each of us have been in situations where we have obeyed only because we are told we have to. And we don't want to deal with the consequence of not obeying. We do it grudgingly. We don't have that attitude that would please God in it. And of course, God knows our hearts and wants more from us. So he also inspires Paul to write that we are not just to obey our parents, but we are to honor them. This is a very serious word, which is actually often used to describe our attitude toward God. Your parents, of course, are not God, but God has put them over you as stewards to guide you and teach you. So glorify God by having the right attitude towards your parents. And what's this about at the end of verse 2 and into verse 3? It says, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Well, this actually refers all the way back to the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. When this promise was given to Israel originally, it referred to many earthly blessings. But Paul's reference to it here in Ephesians once again indicates there's also an implication for Christians today. The way and extent to which a child obeys and honors their parents will have an immense effect on their lives. To be disobedient and dishonoring will affect your life negatively. If you obey and honor, it will go well with you. This refers to the quality of your life. It says that you may live long on the earth refers to quantity. Obey and honor your parents to please the Lord. And his promise for you is a special blessing. And we can rest assured that God keeps his promises. Obey and honor the children's responsibility as described in this text. Just like children, parents as well are given great responsibility towards their children. One of the texts that is maybe most often quoted is in Deuteronomy 6. This is actually the most important prayer in Judaism. It is called the Shema, which literally means to hear. It's found in Deuteronomy 6, 4-9. It's spoken daily in the Jewish tradition. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, of course, these verses teach us about God himself. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then we see the proper response with some specific instructions for parents. Parents are to pass on God's word to their children. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And when parents were not teaching them the words of God, it would still be around the house, including being written on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. There can be no doubt that the role of a Christian parent, a mom and a dad, is to influence their children for Jesus, to teach who God is and to live as examples of loving obedience to our Creator and Savior, fathers and mothers doing their best with God's strength for His glory. Now here in Ephesians 6, verse 4, we're going to focus a little bit more on dads, especially appropriate considering it's Father's Day. So I've titled this section, Dad's do's and don'ts. Yes, I know. Went with the alliteration. Dad's do's and don'ts. Verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Instead of a do, Paul begins with a do not. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. This is also written in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, I have never seen this on a Father's Day t-shirt. Have you? I am not going to provoke my children to anger. Some graphic on the back. I've never seen this as anyone's social media update. Today, I didn't provoke my children to anger. Haven't seen it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't like being told to not do something. Something rebellious rises up in me and I have to suppress that. And sometimes the things we're told not to do seem ridiculous to us. Think, well, why can't I do that? But this do not is here for a very important reason. It is there to protect the relationship between the child and parent and ultimately to honor God and his plan for family relationships so that dads bring up their children in God's design. And although this word most often refers to fathers, it's translated here, and is translated correctly here from the Greek, a mother also should not be provoking her children either. So moms, please keep that in mind as we go forward in this verse. So dads, if we are not to provoke our children to anger, what does this mean we are not to do? Provoke, of course, many of us will know, means to produce or cause. It would mean treating your son or daughter in a way displeasing to God. It would cause them to become angry because of a way that you are acting that is against God's way. And this would most likely be a repeated pattern over time that builds up within your son or daughter. What kinds of things could Paul have in mind here when he says, do not provoke your children to anger? And I want to highlight three very briefly this morning for a quick but honest look at our own lives and parenting. Perhaps there is something the Holy Spirit will bring to mind for a change in the way you bring your son or daughter up. The first one, the first thing that we should not be doing as dads is favoritism. Dads, do not compare your children to one another to determine which one is more valuable to you. If you've had this happen to you, you know how much it hurts. This will be very damaging to the child that is labeled as less than the others. God says he has made each one uniquely and in his own image, in fact. Psalm 139:13-14 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Dads, don't provoke your children to anger with favoritism. The second one is withholding love. This is communicating to your children that you love them only when they are, quote unquote, good enough or do what you want. Dads, do not make the love of your kids based on their performance. Maybe you have thought this will motivate them, or maybe you're doing it unconsciously, or maybe this is how your dad did it. I will love you only when you win that game. I will love you only when you get that grade or learn that skill. This is not how God treats his children. And dads, not how we are to love the children that God has given us stewardship over. If you're a Christian dad, in fact, you are to be known for your love. 1 John 4:7-11 puts it beautifully. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Even discipline," which we'll talk about in a minute, "is to be done in love." Hebrews 12:6 says, "Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines." Don't provoke your children to anger by withholding your love. And the third one I want to highlight this morning is discouragement. This is habitual disapproval, constantly putting your daughter or son down. Your kids need your encouragement. They can be encouragements in the quote-unquote non-spiritual things. For example, your child tries out for a team. They may not make the team, but what can you encourage them in? I'm thankful that you tried. It took courage for you to put yourself out there. But even more, the spiritual things in life. When you see them reading their Bibles, ask about it. Or if they're not reading their Bibles, encouraging them to do so. Sharing what you are learning from God with them. When you see them living out their faith in other ways, maybe even something as quote-unquote simple as being kind to another child in their class or in their family, or maybe their mother, tell them you're thankful for that in them. Parents, we all know that kids pick up when we are stressed, when it feels like the world around us is falling apart. We can encourage them by sharing the love of Jesus with them and his perfect plan, even in this mess of a world. As 1 Thessalonians 5, 9-11 says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Encourage your children with the love of Jesus and his sovereign plan, because they are looking to you as their primary teacher. Don't provoke your children to anger with discouragement. Now, dads, as I have spoken these things, if you have fallen into any of these traps, or maybe there's something else the Holy Spirit is convicting you of at this moment, you're saying, "Oh, I messed up. I've been doing this thing that is not the right way to raise my kids." What can you do? Well, first thing, repent of it to the Lord. The second thing, go to your kids and apologize to them in an age-appropriate fashion and let them know how you are going to change and why. This will take courage. It will take humility, but it will be pleasing to the Lord. And be a fantastic example to your children of how even dads need incalculable forgiveness. And it may be an opportunity to share the gospel with your child. So we've covered the do not. How about the do? What are the do's of bringing your children up in a way that pleases God? Well, verse 4 continues, "But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Discipline refers to training and certainly includes the idea of correction when children are off course. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Instruction literally means to put something in someone's mind. This is the kind of putting into mind we see in Proverbs, not facts or formulas, but knowing what is right and how to live it out. Parents, dads, you are to train your children to follow God's ways and correct where needed, to instruct your children to know God's ways and follow them with all of their heart, soul, and might. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, church, our application is going to sound a little different today. I've been praying for y'all that you would be receptive to God's word as he instructs us in this passage about, first, how to treat our parents. And I've also been praying on this Father's Day for dads, that God would be working in our hearts to show us how to be the most God-honoring dads that we can be for our kids. So most of these application points can be taken to be applied in some way to each of our lives, whatever your situation. But I'm going to address them particularly to dads today. So as you hear them, please be listening to how the Holy Spirit would have you apply it to your life. The Lord has laid on my heart 4 points of application for this morning, and I'm giving them the acronym of LEAD, L-E-A-D. Be a lead dad. Be a lead dad. L stands for love. Frequently, our culture paints dads as distant or hard. And maybe that's been your experience with your dad. But if you are a Christian dad, you must show love to your kids. John 13, 34 to 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Do you think that applies to everything except to how you bring up your kids? No. It absolutely applies. Be a dad that loves your children. Tell your children you love them and show it. Spend time with them doing things together and not just doing jobs around the house, guys. All right? I know there's that temptation. Let's go rake leaves. Oh, Dad, come on. It can be a good thing to do, but not only those things. Spend time doing things with them that interest them. Show love in that regard. Give them hugs. Give them hugs. Figure out what makes them feel loved and do it. Oh, and love their moms. That will make them feel secure and loved too. And that's also obeying God's command to love your wife. Bring them up with love. That's the L in lead. The E stands for evangelize. Evangelize. I know that might not be what you're expecting, but as a dad, you were called to be the leader of the team that tells your son or daughter about Jesus and the good news of the gospel. Let's read it again from Deuteronomy 6, 7 to 9. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." As a dad, you have the God-given responsibility to teach your children the good news of Jesus. The privilege, the pleasure to teach them the greatest news they could ever hear, the gospel. And this verse says, well, it can happen anywhere you're spending time together, but it should also be a deliberate choice to explain the gospel. Many of you will know the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. "Go therefore," it says, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Does this exclude your own children? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Make a deliberate choice to share the gospel with your children over and over and over. Bring them up with the gospel. So we have love, we have evangelize. The next one, I struggle with this one a little more to get the A. I went with admonish. I know, it's not a simple word. But if that's too hard to remember, try advise. And if that really doesn't work for you, use teach or instruct. I know it doesn't spell lead then, but work with me. The point here, as we saw in Ephesians 6, is to instruct your children. Put into their minds the Word of God. Teach them the Bible. Teach them the Bible. Don't assume they're going to be taught the Bible and remember it here. They will be taught the Bible here, but don't just say, well, they're doing it. I'm going to push that responsibility somewhere else. Dads, teach your kids the Word of God. Warn them of the dangers of sin and tell them of the good news of the gospel. Ephesians 6, 4 from our text today, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As we saw earlier, this can be done almost any time, on car trips, at the field, at the store. But I think it is also very worthwhile to do this as a regular part of your day. To take time as a family and learn about God from His Word. And for you, as the dad, to lead your family in learning from God's Word. And you could read, then you could perhaps memorize a verse together. You could sing a song together of praise to God. It could be different songs depending on the ages of your kids. But take that time. Find a time in the day that you can keep regularly. Maybe it's at dinner time. Maybe that's the time your whole family gathers together that you prioritize. But whatever that time is that you can make together, make it a priority for you. Now, maybe you're like, whoa, I don't know how to do this. It sounds like a good idea, but I'm not sure. Maybe it was never modeled for you. Let me recommend to you, I have a solution, this book. Family Worship by Dr. Donald S. Whitney. He actually came and spoke at our church once. This is a great little book that will help you start on that journey. And it is not a long book, but it is a valuable book as you seek to disciple your family. In fact, if you email me and you're one of the first 10 dads to email me, I will give you this book for free. Yes, I know. I know. That's how important I think this is. Admonish. Find that time where you can teach your kids on purpose. Not that it may not happen another time, but show them the priority, the love you have for the Word of God in your life. Also, dads, make sure you're attending church. Make sure church is a priority for you in your life. Serve in your church. All of these things will deeply impact your children for God's glory. Bring them up with godly teaching. We had love. We had evangelize. We had admonish. Yes, I know, it's a hard word. And finally, D stands for discipline. Discipline. This too is in our text today. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Discipline refers to training and correction, helping your son or daughter to grow in maturity. You are to set the pattern for them, which says negatively, do not do this, and positively says, this is what you should do. Discipline has two sides and is closely related to teaching or instruction. Hebrews 12, 5 to 11, in describing the Lord's discipline of his children, says this, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Dads, teach your children what God expects, including our verses today. Give them clear boundaries and then use appropriate, God-honoring discipline to help correct them in a firm but gentle way, to help them follow God as God does for you. Dads, do whatever you can with the strength God provides to be faithful to him as you lead your family. Be a lead dad. Bring them up in a way that pleases God. Let me tell you right now, you will not do this perfectly. You will not do this perfectly. We all need his grace as dads. And it will be a reminder to us of why we need a Savior. But ask him for his strength and his wisdom, and do it all for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the perfect Father. And Lord, we ask that you would give each of the dads here and listening your wisdom, your strength to be dads that honor you and glorify you. Lord, we know that we can only do this through your power, through your grace. Lord, give us the wisdom as we lead our families, as we bring up our children, that they would follow you and that we would honor you in the process. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.